Here we go, here we go. It's that half hour of the show that goes very quickly each Thursday. Paul, how are you, mate?
I'm good to be here, Slice.
Not for Paul.
I don't know whether that's a compliment or not, that it goes so quickly.
You love coming in here, don't you?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I do. Really
no, it's good. That's always good. If it goes, time goes quickly, it's good. Let me tell you, it's very, very good.
What's most interesting in your life at the moment when it comes to rugby league? We're just talking off air.
Glad you said rugby league.
No, we don't want to go there. That's a different show. All right. And we'd be centered around your conversation.
Look, I'm sort of just interested to see how the teams are sort of getting themselves ready for the semi-finals, because there's a lot of ducks and drakes being played at the moment with team selections and where players are. Like Michael Morgan, we've been hearing he's out for the year, and then we hear he'd know he'd be back next week and all the rest of it, and whether Greg Inglis plays this week or next week. And it was last week that, only a week ago, that Michael Maguire wanted him back for round 26, and Inglis wanted to play the first week of the finals, and this week has flipped around, apparently. So the games are being played, but it's good to see. And I'll tell you what I'm really looking forward to is the finals getting started, because it's been a long year.
It is, but I'm actually excited about tomorrow night. I'm excited about the Roosters. $1.33, hot favourites at tab.com.au up against the Rabbitohs, $3.40. They're missing, we expect they're missing Greg Inglis, and I think it's probably good counsel to keep him till week one of the finals, because
I think
they're in
play.
Seventh position. I'm still trying to get my head around that.
I think he'll play?
Yeah,
I think South Sydney are so out of sorts at the moment, the way they're playing, that they will want Inglis back, and they will want a good game from Inglis and the rest of the team to go into the finals with a little bit of a bounce in their step about, hey, you know what, we're going okay, because I tell you what, they are struggling. I rate them off during the week. I said St. George, Illawarra and South Sydney can't win the premiership. I think they're both cooked. I think that they've peaked earlier in the year, and it's a little bit like once you've sort of gone through that period of the year where you've done all your hard work, I don't think you can get it back. I think you look at it like a Wayne Bennett side. They are peaking once again for the finals. Wayne is very, very good at getting his side rolling into the finals. And a month ago, we were saying we're unsure about the Broncos because they weren't scoring enough points. Well, suddenly they are. And I tell you, the other side that we weren't sure about who couldn't score enough points is Cronulla. But suddenly they are. The Sharks are right in this as well.
Yeah, and they'll love that finals footy, won't they? They will love the finals footy. And the other one with the Broncos, as fate would have it, a couple of losses, back-to-back losses, just at a beautiful time of the year as well.
But the great thing, and this is the mastery of Bennett, he just doesn't panic. And what he's done even this week is he's rested Ben Hunt. Now, there's no way in the world Ben Hunt's got a cork. Yeah, it happened in a drill on Monday, apparently. That's just rubbish. But Bennett's just recognised that he needs a break. Just give him a little bit of a freshness, a little bit in racing parlance. You just give him that little freshen up and off they go. And he's brought Ash Taylor in. And Ash Taylor's an unusual selection from the point of view that he's basically going to make his first grade debut. He gets to play one game for the club and then he gets moved on to the Gold Coast.
He's going to the Gold Coast, yeah, but he's a good young talent.
Oh, he's a very good young talent, but it's not normally a Bennett thing to do. But one of Bennett's other golden rules is you make as few disruptions as possible. So rather than put someone else in at 5'8" and then shift Milford to halfback and all the rest of it, just make one positional change, Ash Taylor in halfback. I don't think, nobody wants to lose, but I don't think you'd be too concerned if they got rolled this week, because it's this or that thing. It's more than likely that they'll be finishing second anyway.
That's right.
So off they go.
Yeah. Mate, the Roosters keep on giving, don't they? This extended squad they've got, even with Hargreaves and Mitchell Pearce out, I mean, they're still playing good footy.
Greg, very good side. And it's a funny thing, the Roosters, they've just got Trent Robinson's has a bit of a theory about the way he likes his football side. He likes them to all look differently. So what he'll do is he'll have a tall centre and a short centre, and he'll have a tall edge back row and a short edge back row, and he'll put them with the when they joins them on each side, he'll link the tall and the short together. So what that does is it makes you have to tackle guys differently. Some teams are very similar the way they look. They present themselves with everybody comes out at 6'1" and 105. Mm. And so you just tackle them the same way. But with the Roosters, they're very deliberate. So even what that means is even though they're losing Waria Hargreaves and they've lost, obviously, Mitchell Pearce, which is a big loss, Waria Hargreaves They bring in Sam Mowell for him, or they bring in Dylan Napa or Kane Evans. They bring in those sorts of guys. And what's that doing? Because it's all different body types that you keep looking at with the Roosters, it just continues to present different problems to the defence. And the Roosters, they're just a marvel the way that they can just continue on, lose a couple of players. Any other side, you lose your origin halfback and your international front rower, it's all over.
Yeah, well, you saw that at Brookvale the other night when they had the cutaways to the injured players in the little dugout area. And I guess that brings to another topic which was discussed, that the CEOs have just had a two-day conference and this third-party system was being discussed, because quite clearly the richer clubs get richer and more competitive when you can have the third-party deals, if you've got those corporate links to the community. Mm. And you could see that with the Roosters the other night. They had so much talent sitting there and they hardly missed a beat with the replacements.
Well,
which other clubs are going scrounging New South Wales Cup under-20s and looking for kids?
TK, I've been saying for some time now that the third-party agreements, the way they currently work, are the biggest blight on the game. And it's a difficult one because it's tough to say to players you can't earn money here and there. Mm. But the fact is right now in the game, you've got some clubs. And the NRL, I'll tell you how quickly or how concerned the NRL is about this, is that when you ask them for the figures about what clubs spend on third parties, they won't tell you. Mm. They won't reveal those figures. So some clubs now, as well as a salary cap, there is a salary floor. So clubs have to spend a certain amount, even if they're struggling. And that's what some clubs have been forced to do in recent years. Mm. So they do that. Now, if they're spending the salary floor, that's almost certain that there's no third-party money coming in.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you've got other clubs, and I've heard other clubs have spent $3 to $4 million on third-party agreements. Mm. Now, that's a big advantage. That's a 40% advantage over your rivals come the salary cap. That's huge, particularly when we look at what happened in the AFL when the Swans had that living away from...
A home allowance. Because you're living in Sydney, they got a massive bonus.
They got but it was only 9%. Mm. And it was nowhere near. And the other AFL clubs all blew up about the advantage the Swans had over them. Mm. Well, actually, so the AFL came in, took that away from them. But you've got other clubs, like I said, up to 40% advantage over their rivals. That's huge. Mm. It's huge. And the NRL,
how do you stop it, though, mate? I mean, that's the advantage of, let's use the Roosters for example. I mean, that's going to be a huge advantage. You're still in Sydney with Manly, but they don't get the corporate involvement. How do you control that?
Well, you've got to put a cap on it. Now, what you are never going to stop, and the NRL understands this, you're never going to stop the old brown paper bag. Mm. Which does happen.
Mm.
But if the point of that is, if you do that, if you're getting paid cash under the table from a rich benefactor, that's illegal. You must go away and declare tax on that. Mm. Okay. The way the NRL should stop this, and it's going to be very difficult to do, is the NRL should, in the next collective bargaining agreement with the players, which will be negotiated for the 2018 season, they should bring it in that the NRL gets access to their tax returns and also to their wife's tax returns.
Mm.
Because that way, if there's money going under the table and you're not declaring it, what you're doing then, because you're not declaring to keep it away from the NRL, you're also breaking the law.
Mm.
And that can then bring other authorities in to investigate you.
Mm.
But essentially, that's about all they can do. Now, whether they can get that through, that's going to be tough. What they can do is a softer sort of measure is actually just put a cap on third parties. Now, that's still not going to stop some clubs from cheating. And there are various rorts to go on. Like, one of the great rorts is with the third parties at the moment is a meat supplier will go into a lease club and say, I'd love to supply the meat for all your restaurants here in the lease club. And the lease club says, mate, we'd love to have you. And in fact, not only would we love to have you, but our star halfback here would love a third-party agreement from you.
Mm.
And it's nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Okay, I get that. Well, if you want the tender for the meat license or the meat deal, you've got to pay the third-party agreement to the player. That's the way they work.
Yeah. Let's get to that open line, 13 53 53. Don't forget the text messages to 0419 SMS BSB, which translates to 0419 767 272. Hello, Robbo.
Good morning, boys.
Good morning.
good luck with getting your wife's tax information.
Yeah.
The two things I'll scratch her eyes out of for that is the tax information and the bank card.
Mm. God, well, your missus has got a secret account. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, everyone has a little cunning kick.
What?
Yes.
That your partner doesn't know about?
Well, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Everyone?
Well,
dear, this is
you need
this
to sit down with me later.
Mate, you've influenced me too much.
You know that. Half the wins, half the losses. You know the go.
A little sneaky fund.
How'd you go, break even?
What about the other day, Cam? Have you got any of that? Have you got any cash in that little secret? I said, well, if I told you, it wouldn't be a secret. He goes, well, I need some. Hello, Robbo.
No.
Sorry. Not much of a secret if I tell her.
That's right.
No. Good call, but Michael's had a very short of life. Cunning kicks.
Just very honest, mate.
Yeah, very honest.
Yeah, too honest. Paul, just on the West Tigers debacle, and that's what you've got to call it.
Yep.
I mean, in rugby league life, Jason Taylor is an excellent assistant coach, and that's his station in life, in rugby league terms. As a head coach, you have a look at his record. And his record is not good. You know, Parramatta made the eight once. He's never been near the top four with any side that he has been head coach of. So it tells me that West Tigers, whoever was in charge of putting him as head coach there, went for the cheapest option.
Well, they didn't go for the cheapest option. I actually ran into a board member last year at the was at the Manor League Ball and Grand Final weekend. He had a fair crack at me, to be honest, because I'd been critical of them and the way they'd gone about their business with Mick Potter and finding a new coach. And he said to me, he said, let me tell you right now, if you lined up all the applicants for the job, he said, Jason Taylor came out a mile ahead. Now, I've got to accept him at his word because I wasn't there during the interview process. But that was it was interesting that he said that. Now, in some respects, you are right. If you look at results, you'd have to say, well, he's still yet to prove himself. So we've got to wait and see. The club has backed him. The board has backed him in this. They've got right behind him from the point of view that they have said he's made the decision. There's no lack of unity on the board there about what to do. They've just backed him on this. But both the board now and the coach will, I think, live and die by this decision. If it's successful, they'll be seen as saviours of the club. And if it's not, they'll be looking for work.
Look, Jason's an intelligent man as far as that is concerned, right? So he understood when he made this decision what the repercussions were. The big problem that can happen at the West Tigers is if Robbie Farrick is still there next year, which he has every right to be. Now, Jason would have made the decision thinking, well, this club to move on, rightly or wrongly, he believes we'd need to do it without Robbie Farah.
Yeah.
The problem is this club can't move on if Robbie's there next year, which he's entitled to be. So somehow they're going to have to broker a deal.
Well, the problem is they left it too late in the season.
Correct.
That if this had happened at the start of the year and given Robbie a season to try and find somewhere else to go to, it could have been much better, and it nearly worked out because Leeds actually rang out. Leeds in the English Super League, they've all now got a marquee player payment allowed over there, which is not on the cap, so they can actually offer Robbie more than enough to get him over there and to make him their marquee player and to basically make sure Robbie doesn't miss out on any dollars here. But that window's starting to close now, and certainly in the NRL. There's no one in the NRL with the money right now available in their salary cap to get Robbie, and the Tigers, that's where the Tigers have blown this. They've waited until this point in the season to do that.
Okay, we'll get through some calls here. G'day, Crossy.
My lads.
Go, mate.
Hey, one for your salary cap and third party thing agreement. Should you potentially make boundary limits on some certain teams? Hence, you're talking about the Roosters. I noticed on social media that Mitchell Pearce just signed a. I've got a brand new Amarok or whatever from Artarmon and Volkswagen.
Right.
So Artarmon and Eastern Suburbs, like obviously the Roosters have got a lot of power and a lot of powerful people, so they could probably spread their third parties all over town. Should there potentially be some sort of boundaries where they can only get money from a certain area to try and help?
You mean
help.
As in a suburb? I think, Crossy,
boundaries.
Yeah, Right, okay.
I don't think that's bigger than that now. Yeah, rugby league's bigger than that. And the fact is that some areas have got a certain demographic whereby they've just got more businesses in that area.
If you're in a city, you've got an advantage, right?
If you're in a city, like the Roosters would claim Sydney, so Sydney's a city.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
They'd have a massive
Rabbits,
advantage.
Yeah, the Bulldogs got very powerful board, terrific leagues club backing, great corporate support. You know, the big, powerful clubs have got big advantages, haven't they?
This is part of Dave Smith's appeal to try and get more business expertise on the board so they can go out and try and do this. Unfortunately, the business expertise we're bringing to the boards have got no rugby league expertise and they're blowing in other areas. Yeah. So, that's another one.
Hi, Stephen.
How you going, TK?
Good, thanks. Canty's listening.
Mate, yeah, I was going to say, slap something Wagga boys called Wagga, Wagga, Wagga.
That's right, mate. Well, you don't like Wagga?
No, 1978, I went through year 12 there.
No, no. It's for people who don't live in Wagga, 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 Wagga. They've got to say Wagga, Wagga.
That's true. Mate, I was just bringing up, probably from my memory, to Shanna Olam, Jason Taylor, mate, when he was with Thoughts, North Sydney, Robbie Louie was moved on. He went to West. I think he had a blue with Warren Ryan and one of the players. I can't remember who that was. Could have been Langmack. At Parramatta, he tackled every player that scored the try in the grand final. And at South Sydney, he had the blue with the on the Monday, Mad Monday. So there is a bit of a history there.
Well, look, as I said, the Tigers board interviewed a number of applicants last year, and they thought he was best qualified. It's unfortunate. I think they're in last place now, or second last, equal last anyway.
Them and Newcastle are battling it out.
So we'll wait and see. Look, the one thing the coaches, every coach is entitled to build his own squad. Jason Taylor wants to do that, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the mistake Mick Potter actually made, was the fact is he was answering to other people, wasn't he, his head coach, and it cost him in the end. Hi, Carl.
G'day, boys. Kenty, Robbie Farrell, was there any chance of him getting a South? I'd love to see him there with the departure of Isaac Luke.
Look, they had the discussion and Tigers went in looking to do a bit of a swap with Chris McQueen, but it just didn't get going. There's too much money that the South needed to pay out. They wanted to keep Chris McQueen. That's the other problem. And it just didn't work out. They had the discussion, never really got too far down the track. And Michael Maguire just basically came out and said he's happy with Cameron McInnes and the players he's got at his club there now.
Mate, we've had an SMS about Widdop.
Yep.
How serious is it? Do you know?
Oh, it sounds serious. Look, again, the Dragons are playing a little bit cute about this because it's...
Quad injury?
Yeah, it's a quad injury. And they hadn't told anyone. This is one that's got out on them. But they have been some concerns about it. I think he'll be okay, but he probably won't play this weekend. They'll probably try and rest him for the finals.
Mm. And Manly are praying, I see. Dean Ritchie writes they've got a priest praying for them.
They need more than that, mate.
They need more than that, yeah. They need to beat Cronulla by 60 points. That's just not going to happen.
You know, it's just this time of year where Jeff Toovey's can't sleep at night thinking, what about that round four or round six or whatever
totally.
It was?
Well, he was there last night. He came on 360 last night and he was talking. And the Parramatta loss just killed him.
He
really disappointed in that loss.
Killed me watching it.
Yeah, I can imagine.
What a terrible game. It was horrendous. That's gone already.
Yeah.
That's so quick.
That's right.
You guys saw me coming more often, don't you?
Yeah.
Just to race through the show.
We could do a little Nick Kyrgios. We could just sort of...
Have a nap.
Oh, mate, we love this show. We could go for 6 hours.
People have noted that you've got a new sponsor as well in Adidas, which have come on board with you. Is that a third-party agreement?
I just can't wear those frightening shirts you blokes are wearing. Orange and purple.
No, that was white at the start of the day, but he was in the rain and it sort of turned orange.
From his hair. All the orange has run down from his hair. That's right. Fair call.
It's all right.
Have a good week, mate. See you next week.
See you next week.
See you guys.